In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is sort of given his farewell address. Well, hot. Okay, Brother Harold, could I get you to go back and turn the fans on for me, please, sir? It is a little, Don and I stay warm, so we need to stay cool. But Joshua was an old man. He had served the Lord all of his life. You know, he started out as the minister to Moses and then took over when God took Moses to heaven. And he was he had gathered the people together, and he was giving his farewell address. And again, I want to stress that Joshua is one of the most faithful servants in the Bible. I mean, if you look for an example of someone who served God all his life, Joshua would be a good one to look at. And as he calls the people together and as he reminds them all that God has done for them, he challenges them. I want you to notice what he says in verse 14. He says, put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. Who had to bring those gods? Who was the only person that came through the flood? The flood. Noah. Noah and his sons. Now, if they were worshiping gods that the people worshiped before the floods, that tells me that either Noah or Mrs. Noah or one of the Noah boys, Shem, Ham, or Japheth, or one of his wives brought the gods that they worshiped on the other side of the flood. And so Joshua said, put them away. And he said, which your fathers served on the other flood, and in Egypt. I mean, they had been held captive in Egypt for 430 years. God had brought them out with a great deliverance. He had proven that the gods of Egypt were not gods. He had proven that Jehovah God was stronger than any Egyptian god, and yet the people brought the Egyptian gods out to serve. And then he says in verse 15, and the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. I mean, Joshua had led the people to destroy most of the nations of the land. There was some that had not been conquered yet. But the Israelites, even though the gods of the Amorites had proven not to be gods in that they could not help their people, some of the Israelites were serving the gods of the Amorites. And Joshua said, now look, just put them all away. Go out and bury them somewhere in the earth. That's what they're good for. You know, it's amazing to me when you read over in the Old Testament where the people cut down a tree and they used part of it to warm themselves, build a fire to keep themselves warm. They used part of it in their cook stove to cook their dinner, and then they decorate the rest of it and bow down to and worship it as a god. How foolish. How foolish. I tell you what, I want a god that's more than a part of a tree that I use part of it to warm myself and part of it to cook and the other part I bow down to it. I don't want a God like that. I want a God that can work wonders. I want a God that can act on my behalf. I want a God that can work miracles. That's the kind of God that I have tonight. I don't have a God that's dead. I've got a God that's alive, and He knows what's going on in my life, and He works in my life, and He knows what's going on in your life, and He works in your life. And I thank God tonight that we have that kind of God. And that's what Joshua said. He said, you can choose who you're going to serve. And by the way, you have that same choice. Nobody can make you serve God. You choose tonight who you serve. I want to stand before you like Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And as for you and your house, you ought to serve the Lord. You see, Joshua left a wonderful heritage. In verse 31, if you still have your Bibles open, Joshua chapter 24, but the Bible says, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Wouldn't that be a good testimony for any home? Wouldn't that be a wonderful testimony? They served, like if we said about Brother Vern, they served the Lord all the days of Brother Vern, and all the days of the children that outlived him. In other words, all the children that were there when he was there. That'd be a wonderful testimony for any home. And tonight I want to share with you four things that I think Joshua did. And if you have your Bibles, keep them open to the book of Joshua, because we're going to be looking at some scripture. But there's four things that Joshua did. And by the way, this was not when Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." This is not something that Joshua was going to do. I mean, he was old. He was about to die. He lived to be 110. But he was old. He was about to die. I mean, he was going to do it for the rest of his life, but he'd done it for a long time. He was testifying. He was saying, "Hey, this is how we conduct business at my home. This is how we do it at my house. We serve the Lord. We've done it. We're going to continue to do it." And he challenges the people as he's about to die. "You need to do it too. I can tell you it works." That's what Joshua would say. And tonight, I want to give you four things that I find in the book of Joshua that Joshua did in his home to serve the Lord. And I want to encourage you tonight to do the same thing. Now, don't sit back and say, "Well, it's just my wife and I, or it's just my husband and I. All our kids are gone. I can't influence anybody else." I don't care. You still have a home. If it's just your husband and you still have a home. And you may have a home where there's children still there. And you may have a home where grandchildren come into it often. And what I'm going to say tonight will work. Well, it is true and applies to every single one of those situations. I don't care if you're a single person and you're home when you're with yourself. It's just you. What I'm going to say tonight applies to you just as much as it does to the family that has four or five little kids. It applies just as much to you. And so tonight I'd ask you to listen. I'd ask you to listen to what Joshua says that he did in his home as he served the Lord, and consider it and say, "Hey, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to do the same thing that Joshua did." All right, if you got your Bible, turn back to chapter 23. And I'm going to read verses 11 through 13. "Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Else if ye do in any wise go back, and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps for you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you." Here's what Joshua is saying in these verses. He says, "As me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to guard our home against the world. We're going to guard our home against the world coming into it. We're going to guard our home against the influences that the world in these verses are represented by the nations that God led the Israelites to conquer that were still there. And God says, don't go back to them. And don't get involved with them. Because if you get involved with them, they'll pull you away from God. There'll be snares and traps. There'll be scourges in your side. There'll be thorns in your eyes." Now stop and think about that. Thorn in your eye would hurt, wouldn't it? I mean, right, Aaliyah? I mean, if you got a thorn in your eyeball, it would hurt, wouldn't it? That's what God's saying. He says, don't get caught up in the world. You put a guard around your house and you keep the world out. Otherwise, it'll be a trap, it'll be a snare, it'll be a scourge, it'll be a thorn in the eye. And Joshua says, my house is going to serve the Lord. I'm going to guard it from the world. Now, we need to do the same thing. Now, here's some things. Here's some things that came to my mind. You, Mom, and you, Dad, and you, Grandpa, and you, Grandma, ought to determine what somebody watches on TV. And if you're by yourself, if you're alone, if your home is just one, you ought to guard yourself against what you watch on TV. And you ought to decide, this is good, this will uplift me, this will be good for my family, this will make me love God more, I'm going to watch it. If it doesn't uplift me, if it doesn't build up my home, if it doesn't build up my marriage, if it doesn't teach my kids to do right, if it doesn't make me love God anymore, I'm not going to watch it. Tell you what, you won't be watching much TV if you put that standard to it. And you say, oh, well, Brother Darrell, I don't want to shelter my children too much. I want to get them exposed to what goes on in the world and letting them watch whatever they want to watch on TV is a good way to do that. That's a bunch of hogwash straight from hell. I don't know who told you that, but don't believe it for a single minute. You decide, and I would encourage you to shelter them just as long as you can. Keep the world out until you get Jesus inside. You ought to decide what movies they watch. And you ought to decide and watch what movies you watch. Just don't watch it because it hit the top of the chart. Just don't watch it because all the critics are saying it's great. Ask yourself the same question. Is this movie going to uplift my family? Is it going to strengthen my marriage? Is it going to help my kids? Is it going to make me love the Lord more? If you can say yes to that, then go ahead and enjoy it and watch it. But if it's not going to do those things, just throw it back at Blockbuster and leave the garbage and the filth from hell where it belongs. You decide what you watch. You choose the music. You choose the music that's listened to in your home. And I would discourage, I would encourage you, don't let your kids listen to music with earphones. You can't hear what they're listening to. And if it's good enough for them to listen to, it ought to be good enough to you for you to listen to. And by the way, let me go backwards for a minute. I think it's a mistake, a bad mistake, to let a kid have a TV in their room. Because you can't see, and all the little kids are going, oh, what's the matter with this guy? What bus did he get off of? I think it's a mistake because you don't know what they're watching. And you ought to guard, if you're going to guard them from the world, if you're going to guard them from Satan, if you're, and by the way, the world does not make them love Jesus, does not promote them loving Jesus. And the world does not promote them serving Jesus. And the world, and I'll be honest with you, the world does not promote husband and wife staying together. The world does not promote raising kids in the admonition of the Lord. The world doesn't promote that stuff. The world promotes just the opposite. And tonight, if Joshua was here, I think he'd say to us, you keep the world out of your home. You put up guards around it, and you decide what gets past the guards, and you decide what doesn't get past the guards. You guard your home and keep the world out. So you ought to decide what they watch on TV and what you watch on TV. And you ought to decide what kind of music they listen to and what kind of music you listen to. You ought to decide and help them decide who their friends are. Oh, you say, Brother Darrell, I think they get a certain age, they get mature, they ought to be able to pick their friends. I tell you what, I've got a 22-year-old girl, and I tell her on the phone every week when I talk to her, watch who you run with. Don't just run with anybody. You set your sights high, and you run with people that are going to make you love Jesus more, and they're going to make you go to church more. I don't want you running with somebody that's going to pull you down. And we'd be smart, all of us, every single one. You guys thought I was mad and mean this morning. We'd be smart, every single one of us, to watch who we run with and watch who we hang around with. I'll never forget an illustration that I read not too long ago. Jamie, come up here and help me, would you? Would you come up here and help me? A young girl, a lot older than Jamie, went to her pastor and was talking to him about who she was going to marry. And her pastor said, is this young man a Christian? And she said, oh no. But I'll help him get saved after we get married. And so what the pastor did, would you stand right up there on the pew? He had her stand on the chair. Go ahead, just go ahead. I'll give you my permission. And he said, okay, take my hand, pull me up. Pull me up on the pew. Come on, pull me up. And he said, watch this. You see, it's so much easier, thank you. It's so much easier to pull somebody down than it is to pull somebody up. You hang around different people and say, well, I'll pull them up and I'll get them to love Jesus. You better be careful. It's a lot easier for them to pull you down. I don't care how old you are. It's a lot easier for them to pull you down than it is for you to pull them up. Watch and you decide who their friends are. Guard your home. Let me just say, husbands, you ought to love your wives. That's part of guarding your home. You ought to love your wives. You ought to tell them that you love them. You ought to show them that you love them. You ought to let your kids know and show your love for your wife in the presence of your kids. That's guarding your home. You see, you can't find many things in the world that tells you that. Oh, yeah, they'll tell you that on Valentine's Day when they want to sell you some flowers and cards. They'll tell you that on Sweetest Day when they want to sell you something. But most of the time, what the world says is, oh, no, don't love your wife. I want to tell you tonight, you need to love your wife. That's guarding your home. That's setting a proper example for your children. Ladies, you need to love your husbands and be submissive to them. Hey, now listen to this. You were made by God to be the queen or the princess of the home. Amen? I'll let the ladies say amen, Rick, not you. You were made to be the queen and princess of the home. You ought to act like it. Stay out of your husband's business. Let him be the king. You be the queen. You let him do what he's supposed to do. You be the queen and princess of the home. And, as I mentioned this morning, you raise your children. I mean, you have a plan. Do it proactively. Don't just sit back and say, well, my kids are going to turn out okay. Don't do that. Say, oh, Brother Darrell, my kids are gone. Okay, what about your grandkids? What are you going to teach them? Are you just going to let them grow up and decide for themselves? No, every parent, every grandparent ought to have a plan what they're going to teach their children. It's not the school's responsibility. I mean, yeah, they can teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic, but you got to teach them about life. It's not the church's responsibility. We'll help you. But it's you're primarily responsible to teach your children the things that they need to know to live their life. And if you're going to guard your home against the world, you need to do that. Because I tell you what, if you leave a vacuum there, the world is going to step in and fill it and will teach your children. And by the way, will teach you. You know what? There's not a person in this room, and I don't care, Dave may be the oldest one here tonight since he's celebrating his birthday. There's not a person in this room that's too old to stop learning. Amen? You ought to keep reading. You ought to keep studying. You ought to keep learning stuff, and you ought to guard what you put into your head. It ought to be good stuff. We'll get to something good in just a minute. Give you a little advice on that. But Joshua, I think if Joshua were here tonight, we could say, Joshua, what do you mean when you said, me and my house are going to serve the Lord? I think the first thing he'd say, you guard your home from the world. You decide what gets in the front door, and you decide what doesn't get in the front door. And you make sure that what gets in the front door is honoring and pleasing to God, and will build you and build your family, and will teach them to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You guard your home. Number two. You praise God. Just praise God in your home. I'm not talking about when you come to church. We ought to do it when we come here. But we ought to have a spirit of praise in our home. That verse from James chapter 1 verse 17 where it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. Let me read it again. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. Let me read it again. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. Joshua, in his home, taught his children and taught his family that every good thing that they had came from God. In Joshua chapter 24, and if you just have your Bibles open, follow along with me. Let me read some of these verses. In verse 3, it says, and I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. In verse 4, and I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. Verse 5, and I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. Look down at verse 11. And ye went over Jordan and came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Gergesites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. Look at verse 12. I sent the hornet before you. Look at verse 13. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor. Joshua taught his family that every good and every perfect gift was from God, and we need to have the spirit, that same spirit of praise in our homes, that God loves us and that every good and every perfect thing that's in our life came from God. I mean, I think we ought to teach our children, look at this house we live in. God gave us this house. Every time you put food on the table, you ought to say, God gave us this food. Every time you get into the car, and I don't care if it's an old jalopy or a Cadillac, you ought to get into that car and say, God gave us this car. Praise God! Every good and every perfect gift cometh down from a Father above. Everything in your home, the bed that you sleep in, the clothes that you wear, the couch that you sit on, the ping pong table you play ping pong on, everything in your home came from God. And your children ought to know, and we ought to know, that it didn't come from Mom and Dad, that it didn't come from General Motors, that it didn't come from Grandpa and Grandma. It came from God. Praise Him. Every good and every perfect gift cometh down. Say, Brother Darrell, why are you getting so excited? I get excited because I want you to understand that's how you serve the Lord. You praise Him. And there's not enough praising going on in our homes today. Not enough. We take credit. Oh, yeah, I worked hard for everything you see around here. Well, God may have used you to work hard, and praise God that He gave you the strength to work and the job to earn the money, but every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father which is above. And when we get it into our heads, and when we can display it before our children day by day by day, that every good thing we have comes from God, we'll be in a continual mode of praise. We'll be saying, thank you, God, like Chuck was testifying a minute ago. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Every good thing comes from Him. So, Joshua, what do you mean? Me and my house are going to serve the Lord. What do you mean by that? Guard your home. Don't let the world into it. Praise God. And then number three, obey God. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Chapter 1, verse 2. Moses, this is God talking to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. That was Joshua's marching orders. God said, Joshua, I want you to take over. Moses is dead. I want you to lead the people across Jordan. I want you to lead them into the promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey, and I want you to take it. It's yours. I'll turn back to Joshua chapter 11. Verse 15. As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. God commanded Moses, gave him 10 commandments. Gave him the laws. It gave him everything he wanted the people. He gave him what he wanted, what they wanted him to eat. He gave him everything. How to build a temple, everything. And God commanded Moses, and Moses commanded Joshua, and this verse said that Joshua left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Now let me ask you tonight. I don't want anybody to raise their hand. I don't want anybody to say anything. Same thing true about us. Everything that God has commanded us, have we left anything undone? You want to know what it means to serve the Lord? What Joshua meant when he said, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord? It means that you're going to be obedient to the things that God tells you to do. Say, well, he hadn't told me to do anything. Oh, then you ain't reading this book. If you don't think God's told you to do anything, you need to get in this book, and you won't have to read many pages in this book. You'll find something that God wants you to do. Just do it. Just do it. That's what it means when Joshua said, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What Joshua was saying, we're going to do what God tells us to do. As God reveals through His Word what He wants me to do, I'm going to do it. And then as He reveals something else, I'm going to do that. As he reveals something else, I'm gonna do that. Just be obedient children to the Heavenly Father. That's what it means to serve God with your house, is to be obedient.